On this episode of the Florida Dirt Bike Radio Show, we'll have FTR Hair Scrambles A250 rider Tommy Hill on to talk about his past couple seasons in the A-Class, how he started up doing some mountain bike races, and what the whole deal is with that, as well as some other cool things going on in his life. As always, like us on Facebook, Florida Dirt Bike Radio Show. Check out our website, www.whiskeythrottlemedia.com, for all up-to-date content. Like us on or follow us on Instagram, Florida Dirt Bike, and make sure to check us out on Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts from. We're expecting to be on iTunes by the end of the week, so we're pretty excited about that, and we're ready to kick this thing off. Enjoy.
Down to Florida, we welcome you to the Sunshine State. They're kicking back and soaking up the rays every day in Florida. I'm in Florida, the sun is setting over Tampa Bay. It's like a Caribbean holiday every day in Florida.
I'm on the line right now with the Tommy Hill, A250 rider racing FTR Hair Scrambles. What's up, Tommy?
Not much, man. Just leaving work.
Yeah, hard day at the office?
Yeah, actually, today was a lot of work.
So where are you working? What are you doing?
Right now, I am working 30 hours a week in a real estate probate law firm, and then the other day of the week I'm working with my dad, helping him flip houses and that sort of stuff.
Sound like a busy man.
Meh, could be worse.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, first of all, so this year in A250, you didn't obviously work in a man, just finished up law school, so obviously you didn't really race them all, but a couple third place finishes in there, or second place finishes in there. Sorry, you had 3 second place finishes. What I was trying to say, pretty good, man.
Yeah, right.
Were you happy with that? It seems like your speed's there this year.
Yeah, definitely. I took the bar in February, so from like August to December, my schedule wasn't too bad at school, so I was able to start riding again. And yeah, I definitely saw some progression. At one point I was winning a race and ran out of gas with about a mile to go. That was pretty devastating. But yeah, definitely liked the way I was riding. And then there was like 12 weeks of misery studying for the bar. And I kind of feel like I lost a lot there. Well, I lost a lot of speed and I gained some weight. And, yeah, so now I'm just working on trying to get back to where I was before all that school nonsense.
So would that have been your first A-class win, if you didn't run out of gas?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Dude, so devastating.
I knew I was going to run out of gas. I was looking for guys on the side of the track that had 2 strokes, and everyone was riding 4 strokes that day. So I knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time before it happened.
You didn't think about stopping for gas lap before, or just were on it?
I thought about it, but said, hey, I'm winning. I don't feel like stopping. And so look how that turned out.
Yeah, it turned out good for you.
Yeah.
Man, that's a bummer, but... Hey, you know, at least you know that you had the winning speed there. That's me and Tommy went to A class at the same time, and I haven't even been close to winning. So you know, you've got that winning speed there, and something to build off, I guess.
Yeah, just the right guys have to not be there, and I gotta be feeling good if I'm gonna get a win.
And what bike are you riding now?
Actually, I think this might even be a surprise to you.
Uh-oh.
I picked me up a 350 a couple weeks ago. It was a passing the bar gift to myself.
Hey, it's not a bad gift.
Yeah, so I'm riding that thing, and I definitely should have switched over to the four strokes a long time ago. So well, I did, and I went back, and then but should have stuck with it, but went to a 350.
Yeah, I mean, those new 350s have gotten so much better the last couple years. I definitely have an eye on one too. They're just really good. The power's there. It kind of wasn't before when they first came out. It was more like a heavier 250F than anything, but now it's kind of more like a light 450. I think it's like the perfect woods bike, honestly.
Oh, it's hands down the best dirt bike I've ever ridden. Like, I've never been more comfortable on a motorcycle in my life.
Is it orange or white?
It's orange.
Okay, second with KTM. So.
Yeah, I bleed orange, you know?
Yeah, man. You've been on KTMs for pretty much ever, right? Or the last couple of years, at
pretty
least.
Pretty much. I had a small stint on a KX450, and I had a YZ250, like, oh my gosh, like 10 years ago. Dang, I'm old.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, you're up there. And every time I feel old, I just think about how you're older than me, and it makes me feel better about my life.
Like a year older, huh? And that makes you feel good.
Hey, that's all that matters. It's a different number.
Yeah, whatever you gotta do, man.
Well, damn, Tommy, you know, I just realized that you're gonna be riding A Open next year now, and that's just another guy who's gonna kick my ass.
I don't know, man. I'm definitely excited about it, though. I got to race it. It's a 24-hour race, and I was really happy with my lap times compared to other people's, so I'm definitely excited about how this next season will go.
Yeah, I totally forgot that you guys went up there and did that. How was that? Tell me about it.
It was a lot of fun. We just went up there with the expectation that we were going to come in last, because we had a couple B riders, and then my dad and Carlos Allen, who are both, you know, in the Silver Master class, and we were racing six bike open. So, you know, that's open to everyone. I kind of just figured we were going to get whooped. But we stayed consistent. I think we only had my brother had one flat tire, and he only dropped a few minutes on that lap. And then Carlos Allen he broke his chain on the motocross track. And it couldn't happen in a better spot because, you know, there's a ton of people there. Yeah. So they just towed him back to the pit, and I think we only lost like 10 minutes that lap, 10-15 minutes. So, you know, we ended up doing all right. We came in sixth, so
that's good.
Beat my expectations.
It sounds like with that new, because this new class where everyone can ride their own bike is kind of new, and I feel like that kind of helps people, you know, it'll kind of build the amount of people that go, because, you know, one bike, that's a lot, and no one wants to tear up their bike and ride it for 24 hours straight. But this way, everyone can ride their own bike. I think it's more user-friendly.
Yep, I agree. I mean, I think participation was starting to kind of fall a little bit on that race, and they put that six-bike class in there, and I think it'll get more popular than ever now that they have that.
Was that your first time riding at night, or have you done some night races before like that?
I've done quite a few night mountain bike races, but that was my first time riding dirt bikes at night. And I don't know, on the mountain bike, my lap times would normally drop 3 or 4 minutes. I don't know why. So I kind of figured the same would happen on the dirt bike, and actually I was even worse on the dirt bike. So.
Oh, wow. Really?
I'm just, I'm not a night rider.
Yeah. I figured, because I was talking to Alex Luger about this, and he said his times didn't really drop much, and I figured I don't think mine would either, just because I wouldn't see the obstacles, and I would kind of just keep on the throttle, not see what I'm hitting, and just hope I won't go down.
Yeah, see, I'm timid. I'm timid about everything, so...
Well,
not everything.
You're old.
Everything on the
you're
dirt
old.
Bike.
You are old, though, so that's probably
why. But I've always, I don't know, you know, I never liked, up until recently, I didn't even like motocross, and just because of the spooky jumps, and, yeah, I don't know, couldn't see stuff, so I slowed down, and, yep, it was still a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, you know, you still got to go to work on Monday, so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not if you're really hurt, then you don't got to go.
Yeah, that's true, you know, but then that's really no fun.
Yeah.
So you've been in A class since 2011 now. Talk about some career highlights in the A250 and A Open classes for you.
I think my personal best season was definitely the year that I came in third in A250, but I don't know, just to me that was the best year because I came in third behind Dylan Rash and Max Coughlin, who were both our. Well, I don't know what Max does, but Dylan's obviously still super talented. And, yeah, I don't know. I was just riding really good that year. And, yeah, I always think about that year. That was a good year. Yeah, I don't know. And I've stayed consistently decent. So that's pretty cool.
That's not bad, you know, going through college and then law school. And now you're working, you know, and you're kind of been this around the same speed for the most part. That's I feel like that's hard to do for a lot of people. And you never really, obviously you miss some races here and there, some seasons more than others, but you've always been to at least a couple a year, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when I was in law school, I know I didn't make it to many races, but I was focusing more on mountain bike racing at that point too. So that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh. You're good. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, I love FTR and I'll always do it. And yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about a little bit about the mountain bike racing. When did you get into that, and how did you see your results? Did they, or your fitness more so, get better after racing the mountain bike a bit more?
Oh yeah. Let's see. I got into mountain biking because I was bored. Down at Florida Gulf Coast, me and Corey Lukosevich and you and Alex Griffith. I know we got into it because we were bored, and then I just started really enjoying it, and I started seeing that I wasn't getting tired at FTRs anymore. I mean, I get tired, but not like sick tired. And yeah, you know, and then it's nice because you can train 5 days a week, and then you can go out and be really competitive, wearing it, you know, at FTR, I started getting frustrated because I wasn't seeing big improvements because you can only really ride once a week, and I started gravitating towards mountain bikes because I like seeing improvement. Then I started chasing championships, and then that obviously comes with a lot of pressure. And then last summer, I was going to win the Southeast Racing Championship, which is like Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, and South Carolina, and had a knee issue, which cost me at the last round. But, yeah, I mean, it's fun, and there's a ton of FTR guys in it. I don't think most people recognize that, but there's a lot of fast FTR people that race mountain bikes now.
So what like, skill level is it like they do A, B, and C, or how does the classes work?
So they have, like, a legitimate pro class. They pay money. There's some guys in there that make a living. Obviously, they race other series or they're coaches, but their living is bicycles. So I wasn't in that class. And then, so you have, like, pro, XC1, and they consider XC1, I guess, to be, like, double A.
Mm-hmm.
And then XC2 was the class that I was in, which is, like, A class.
Okay.
And then they have XC3 and XC... And then... I don't know. I think they call it XC4, which is like beginner or C class. They don't have a beginner class.
And I'm sure it didn't hurt that your new wife I guess you not married for a year or so now, was into it too. So I mean, I'm sure that helped going out the weekends with her.
Oh yeah, that made it nice too. And by the way, you're way off. We've almost been married for 2 years.
Really? But, jeez, time flies, you know.
You were at the wedding, man.
I know. I had a couple beers there.
Yeah, but yeah, that obviously helps too because I had someone to train with, and not that she ever gives me a hard time about going away to dirt bike races or anything, but it was nice being able to do it together. And she actually is very talented at it too, so it was fun. She won a championship, and that was a lot of fun getting to do that with her.
And she just raced her first FTR race too recently, didn't she?
She did. She got a dirt bike just because we've been getting back into it more, and I was like, you need to get a dirt bike just so you can come along. And I think she rode it, like, we went to Durham Town for a few days right after the bar, and then didn't touch it. We were just sitting in the garage, and I was giving her a hard time, and she's like, well, fine, I'll race this weekend. She actually went through with it, and she had a blast.
That was Apollo, wasn't it? Or not Apollo, DDR?
Daytona.
Yeah, that was a tough Saturday track for your first race, and she finished, so you got to give her props to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she beat, like, six people, too, so that was cool.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. Hey, you better watch out, though, because, you know, next thing you know, she'll be running up there in A-Open with you.
Yeah, you're probably right. She'll start beating me up and stuff, so I probably should sell her bike.
You should. Just sell it in the middle of the night, not tell her.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, how is a mountain bike racing similar to, like, FTR racing? Obviously, it's trails and stuff, and how is it different? Obviously, the motor and stuff, but kind of just how it's organized.
Format? Honestly, it is incredibly similar, and I think that's why a lot of FTR guys end up racing mountain bikes, whether it be due to time or, you know, interest. So they have, like, the morning race and the afternoon race. They do it how I think FTR should do their races. The morning race is like pro XC1, XC2, and like age groups. Well, they do it all by age group, but also XC2 or the getting scrambled here. But yeah, it's like XC1, XC2, and pro in the morning, and then they divide that up by age groups. And then the afternoon is XC3 and XC4, and that's divided up by age groups as well. And, I mean, honestly, like, the classes as far as speed go, like, if you were to say go for 10 minutes, they're all about the same. Mm-hmm. What it really comes down to is endurance and obviously some skill. Well, there's a lot of skill, but,
yeah.
You have a lot of XC3 guys that can run the same lap times as XC2, but they can't do it as long. But, yeah, they just set up, like, a 7-mile, 6-mile course, and XC... four does one lap, XC3 does two, and so on.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's actually very similar. Doesn't sound... You didn't say mountain bike or XC3 and XC2, I'd kind of think you were talking about FTR almost.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. It's cool because I don't think you get as much tactic in dirt biking as you do in mountain biking. Like, a lot of times you'll, especially after the first few races of the season, like, you'll learn who's strong, who's a good sprinter, and, you know, you start playing games with each other on the trail, trying to wear each other out early on, and it's a lot of fun. That mental side of it's cool, and I don't think you really get that in FTR.
I wouldn't think so. At least for me, the only mental side I have is battling myself to keep going after three laps and I'm dead tired.
I know I hear some of the GNCC guys talk about their tactics, but because those guys are just freaks.
Yeah.
Megan. Yeah.
All right, Tom, I want to take it way back here. I always like asking this. How did you get involved with dirt bikes and racing dirt bikes?
Yeah. All right. My dad, when he was like probably 20, 21, he rode dirt bikes. And then that was up in Indiana. And he got married to my mom. And, they moved down here, and I don't even think he brought his bike with him. And I don't know, maybe when I was like 4 or 5, I saw a picture of a dirt bike, and I was like adamant that I needed one. And my mom's a bit of a worrywart, so I didn't get one, but my dad got one. And I just remember I'd like ride around on the front of it with him, and then I don't know, it kind of died off again. And then when I was like 12, I got a dirt bike, and I don't know, maybe like 10, yeah, 10. Got an XR100, just tooled around the yard on it. Never did anything, no racing or anything. And then we moved out onto some property, and that's when I was like, all right, I really like dirt bikes. And I think I got a KX125 for Christmas when I was 13, and my parents didn't want me to race. They said I could race if I, like, organized it, and I don't think they thought I would. And then shortly thereafter, I was out at Apollo for my first hair scramble.
And you've been hooked ever since.
Oh, yeah. Yep, loved it. Still do.
Yeah, I was just talking with Dylan Rash, and it's an addiction. Because I know when I stop for a while, man, it's like all I think about, you know, getting back on a dirt bike.
Yeah. It's just, you can't match that feeling of, I don't know, just hitting the corner perfect or whatever, you know, it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, I think one of the biggest things why I personally enjoy racing dirt bikes is with FTR, like the whole family environment and going out, seeing all my buddies race and hanging out all weekend, I think that definitely adds to the whole thought of it. You know, if I just went and drove 4 hours, didn't talk to anybody, lined up my dirt bike and raced, I mean, obviously I would still have a lot of fun, but it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, pretty much all of my best friends are within FTR. I mean, it's an awesome organization. It's, like I said before, it's definitely something I'll do for as long as I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. But Tom, so when you're not out ripping up the trails on your mountain bike, or you're ripping some sweet berms on your dirt bike, what are some other things you like to do? Some other hobbies?
Well, I like to surf, and being in New Smyrna, I get to do that a lot. I like to do some fishing and some scuba diving when the ocean's cooperating and I have time. But outside of that, bicycles and dirt bikes are pretty much my life.
Bicycles, dirt bikes, and law.
Yeah. Law's not that exciting though. Well, it can be, but I like dirt bikes more.
Hey, I mean, you do some other pretty exciting things, so it kind of weighs out.
Yeah, it all evens out.
All right, Tommy. Thank you so much for doing this with me, and I look forward to see you on the A Open line on that new 350. You'll have to let me try it out.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm excited.
Is that XC or SX? Which one did you go with?
Dude, I actually went with the SX, and the reason I did that was I rode my dad's XC, and it just felt kind of, I don't know, it didn't feel like it had a lot of grunt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it did. I probably wasn't riding it right because it wasn't mine. But, I just didn't like the way the motor felt. And I think it's got the 6-speed gearbox, which I don't really like. I went from the 250 SX to the 250 XC, and I don't really like the transmission on it. And then the other thing was the suspension. XC is too soft,
mm-hmm.
At least for my preference. And, yeah, I know the SX is a little stiffer. It's got a little bit hotter mapping than the gearbox. Yeah, it's a 5, so I like that more too.
Yeah, it's a little more peppy, I think, than the XC. I've ridden the XC version and the SX, and I really didn't like the XC too much. It was a 15 though, so it wasn't the newer one, and I rode an 18 SX. So I mean, that could have been it too, but the SX just seemed like it had a little more grunt for me.
Yeah, it definitely has a little more grunt, and then they have the map switch on them now, so I don't even, on my SX, they call it like the expert map, but just like the hotter map was, I can ride it, but it wore me out a little bit, so I went down to like the less hot map, and I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry, keep cutting you off.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, to me, they're pretty much the same bike. It's just all preference, really. Yeah,
definitely. And again, before I let you go, I wanted to ask, because I forgot to ask you earlier. I know you've been, you said you were riding motocross a little bit more recently. Do you think that helps you out in the woods a little bit, or just helping you with like kind of being more aggressive and whatnot?
Yeah, aggressiveness, and then also I just think comfort on the bike, because, you know, especially because I ride out of packs a lot, you know, all the faces of the jumps, even on a weekday, get all rutted up, and the track gets really rough. And I just think you've got to learn to be comfortable with hitting a rut off the face of a big jump. You know, every jump in packs is, to me, scary big, even though I've started doing them all. You just got to be comfortable with hitting a rut off a big jump. And, it definitely helps in the woods, because if you're comfortable with doing that, then there's nothing in the woods that's intimidating.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, that's all I really have down here in Southwest Florida is motocross. And I just really enjoy riding motocross. I think I've learned to enjoy trail riding a lot more. Obviously, racing motocross is a whole nother thing. But I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think it's vice versa. It helps as well, because if you look at like Aaron Plessinger and Zach Osborne, who they rode woods for a little bit too, and they're killing it on the motocross track. And then I think motocross guys can do just as good in the woods.
Yeah. It definitely they all help each other. And I definitely think you can gain some speed by riding motocross, especially if you've never been on a motocross track. I'm sure you see a huge step up in your game.
Mm-hmm. So are you got the Suzuki 450. Are you going to keep that, or now that you have the SX 350, you're just going to ride that motocross, or what?
I'll keep old Yeller. Just it's because it's paid for now, and it'll keep the hours off the KTM, because KTMs are so dang expensive. I don't want to have to buy a new one anytime soon.
Yeah, look at you, factory. You got a practice bike and a race bike. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. Nothing beats 450 on a motocross track either. It's awesome. That's the one thing I miss most about my 450, is just be able to come out of a corner and blip the throttle and clear a huge jump. You know, it's insane.
Yeah. And then also a Suzuki, I mean, I don't know how much looking around you've done, but you can get them for under $5,000 now. So, you know, I don't feel so bad about putting a ton of hours on it and not really doing a ton of maintenance on it, you know? So. Mm-hmm.
What's a 452? I mean, they're pretty indestructible for the average rider, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm not on the revs on that bad girl at all. So it'll have a long life.
Definitely. All right, Tom, thank you so much. You have a great night, and drive safe on your way home.
Thanks, dude. You too. Well, you're not driving home, but enjoy your evening.
If I drive tonight, I'll remember you said drive safe, and I'll make sure to drive nice and safe.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
All right, buddy. See you later.
All right, dude. See ya.